Lord.
There we go.
I want to, is in the here, a verse from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, and this is in the Message. Don't drink too much wine, that cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God, huge draughts of Him. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Sing songs from your heart to Christ. Sing praises over everything. And I love this part. Any excuse for a song to God the Father in the name of our Master Jesus Christ. We're called to be worshipers. And that means that we lift our voices, we lift our hands, we open our hearts, we let the Lord in, and we give back to Him this gift of worship that He's put in us, the breath. And so today I encourage you just to prepare your hearts right now, Lord, as we come to You right now. We just ask, Lord, that this today would be a good excuse for worshiping You when we're gathered in Your house, Lord, when we're gathered, Lord, in Your presence, Lord. Word says when two or more gather together, You're there in our midst, Lord. You're here right now. Holy Spirit, You're here right now. And we just ask that You would just have Your perfect way, Lord, in this service, Lord, that You would let every heart and every life, Lord, be attentive to You, Lord. Let every heart and every life, Lord, receive, Lord, what You have for them today. God, I pray right now, Lord, that You would just let the presence of God that's already here be manifest and made reality to each and every one of us. Lord, we surrender this service into Your hands. We commit, Lord, this service into Your hands. We commit, Lord, our lives, Lord, into Your hands. And we thank You, Lord, that we have the living God with us right now. We have the living God living in us right now. So, Lord, we praise You when we worship You. Why don't you just take a moment and just thank the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Use your words. Thank You, Jesus, Lord, for being in my life. Thank You, Jesus, for Your love, Lord, that You gave and demonstrated on the cross. Thank You, Jesus, for the peace of God that guards our hearts and our minds, Lord, because we focused on You. Thank You, Lord, for the joy, Lord, that's set before us, Lord. Lord, the joy that You've given us, God, in Your presence. Lord, we just ask right now, Lord, that we would continue to this spirit of worship and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. Savior of the world. Singing, oh. we can sing, Lord, Jesus, you're the name we lift on high. Change me. The only one who can heal me. starts changing. I don't have that much to bring, just a simple song to sing. If I could have anything, let me be an offering. And there be like David, unconvinced by power or my idols, and worship me in triumph and trial, a faithful friend of God, the bell of the Spirit, Jesus, and more than reputation.
I don't have that much to bring,
just a simple song to sing. If I could have anything, let me be it all.
Did y'all hear me anyway? So here's the thing. When we're concentrating to hear God's voice, no matter the chaos, no matter what's going on, no matter the noise from the world, we will hear his voice. But there are times we can be looking right at him, but our mind is here. Our distraction is here, and we're not hearing him, because we're too busy with what's going on around us and not concentrating on what he might want to say to us. So if you want to hear from him, purposely listen for him, because his voice is small and soft. But oh my God, is it powerful when you hear it? Because he's going to call you to things you don't want to do. He's going to call you to things that are not comfortable. And he's just going to sometimes tell you, hey, babe, I love you. You're not where I want you right now, but I love you. But you have to want to hear his voice. You have to purposely want to hear it. Because he'll talk to us all the time. But if we're too distracted, it doesn't matter what we're doing for him. Oh, I'm looking at God. I'm doing my Bible study. I'm going to church. I'm doing a mission walk. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. But we're looking right at him, but we're not hearing him because we're too distracted. So if you want to hear him, tell him you want to hear him and purposely listen.
If I could have anything, let it be your eyes on me. Every time I catch your gaze, my words are changing. I don't have that much to bring, just a simple song to sing. I could have anything, let me be it all for me. Let it be, let me be it all for me. Let me be, let me be it all for me. Heard the propaganda, heard the lie they whispered to my soul. That I have been forsaken, I'll always be forgotten. No matter what I do, it's not enough. But then I heard a voice as it opened up the heavens, reminding me of who we've always been. Yeah, I'm your beloved. You have bought me with your blood. And on your hand you've written out my name. Yeah, I'm your beloved. Father. Father's eyes. Yeah, they don't see my sin, they only see redemption. And this is how my heart has been defined. I can hear a voice that is louder than the thunder, reminding me of who I've always been. I am your beloved, you have bought me with your blood, and on your hand you've written down my name. I am your beloved, and what the Father loves, your mercy has defeated all my shame.
Your mercy has defeated all my
my shame. I don't have to carry it. Your mercy has defeated all my shame. Yes, your mercy has defeated all my shame.
Mercy, Lord. You know that if you bring it up, it says, the one who knows me best is the one who loves me most. If you think about our lives, how many of us want everybody to know every single thing about us? Our past, our way we think sometimes. I mean, sometimes our thoughts, you know, betray us. And yet God knows all of that. He knows every single part of us. He knows every single bad thought we have. He knows everything. Every time we think bad things about others, yet he loves us most. He loves us most. Let's sing that one more time. Maybe a few.
One who knows me best.
Yes.
Is the one who loves me most. There is nothing change the Father's love. Oh, the one, oh, the one who knows me best is the one who loves me most. There is nothing I have done that could change the
sink into your heart today.
Is the one who loves me most. There is nothing I have done that could change the Father's love.
Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you do not change. You do not waver, Lord. There's no darkness in you, Lord. Shadow of turning. God, you are love, Lord, and you love us. With all of our bad behavior, with all of our good behavior, with all of our successes and all of our failures, all of our bad thoughts and all of our good thoughts, Lord, you love us. And you love us most. You love us most of all. There's no human on earth, no one in our lives that can love us like you love us, Lord. Thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, that you don't hide your love from us, Lord. You put it on display. And you put it on display when you hung on the cross, Lord Jesus. You displayed and said, this is love, and this is how much I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray for anyone here today, Lord, that's not feeling or sensing your love, Lord. I pray you would just wrap them in your loving arms, Lord. You draw them into your heart, Lord, where your love resides. And help them, Lord, to be healed and whole, Lord, and restored in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love on someone, greet someone, get some homemade pan dulce that Lexi made. Wow. How long did that take you to make?
Okay, good morning, guys. Let's go on ahead and get to our seats, please. We're going to get ready to do a declaration over our city because we love our city and we want to speak good things over it so we can see good things come out of it. Amen? All right, let's go ahead and go to that first slide. Okay, let's say this together on three. One, two, three.
Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that a revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in the Yakima Valley as it is in heaven.
Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you so much for this amazing place that you've given us to live in, God. I pray that you would continue giving us opportunities to outreach to the people who need you, God, for the people that know you, even, God, that we would just continue to further their relationships with you through prayer and through worship or through the things that we're doing in this church and out of it. So I just thank you so much for this day, and I pray that you bless the word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Good morning. Said it once, I'll say it again. We have been communicating over the past probably 5 weeks, 6 weeks maybe, on the idea of one life at a time, first reaching Yakima, one heart at a time, then one soul at a time, and one life at a time. Eric shared about reaching individuals one friend at a time. And last week, Nancy shared on the idea of that we have to be compassionate people and love all those that are that God has in this world, and especially sometimes the ones who are least of these. And Jesus says, as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. But today I want to focus on another aspect of this idea of reaching this world, reaching our friends, reaching our coworkers, reaching our fellow students, and reaching our family. And so the title of this message is called The Harvest. The Harvest. And, when I look at that picture that's up there, it reminds me of the disciples when they were going by and grabbing the heads of wheat and rubbing them off in their hands and eating it on the day of the Sabbath. And people got kind of bent out of shape. And Jesus said, the Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so that idea of God giving us something that is directly from him, directly to, I was reading in it was Exodus, and it was saying that I gave this to you so you could rest. I gave you the Sabbath so you could rest. So it was for you. And the thing about we don't always realize is that God gives us the ability to harvest in his kingdom for us, because it's a blessing to us when we reach others. We may not realize that all the time, and you may not realize it right at the moment when you're doing it, but when you extend yourself beyond your own comfort zone, how many know that when you're sharing with people, sometimes your comfort zone is like, I don't want to be doing this. Because it's like you don't know how they're going to receive you. You don't know if you're going to offend them. But the Lord has opened up a door for you to say something. And so when we step out and share the good news, which we'll look, it's necessary for people to hear and people to experience the good news through the living of our lives, that's part of the harvest. And you'll see later on that there's a blessing in that. All right, let's go ahead and look at our first scripture. This is Matthew. I'm using the New Living Translation during this service, this message. So just I know you. I always use the New King James Version, but today it's the New Living Translation. Matthew 9:35-38. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues, announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Let's just, if you guys would read with me out loud this, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Let's do that on three. One, two, three. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. And notice that Jesus was going and traveling like he always did and visiting different places and communicating with different people and healing people of all kinds of diseases and illnesses. And he was doing the work of the ministry that he knew he was called to do. If you read Isaiah, when he says this prophecy today, the one who's here to fulfill this is here in your midst. And part of that was, you know, opening blind eyes, healing, setting captives free. But now he's changing his view a little bit. He's now looking at all of this harvest, and there's not enough workers. He's seeing all of these people, and he says, I can't do it myself. Isn't that crazy? God can't do it himself. You ever thought about that? I mean, he's God. You think he could reach anybody he wants to reach, but he needs workers. He needs people who have said, I'm going to commit my life. I'm going to surrender my life. I'm going to go ahead and put myself in difficult situations because someone did that for me. Someone used their verbal words or somebody used their acts of kindness or whatever they did that finally touched your heart. And you said, there's something about this Christianity that I need to look into. There's something about this faith that maybe I need to see if maybe I need to have the same faith. And you know what happened? You got saved. You're here today. If you didn't get saved, see me after church, okay? We'll get that straightened out. But nonetheless, you're coming, and so you're approaching God, so you have hearts that are seeking God at the very least. So Jesus is looking, and he's seeing all of these people, and he sees that they're confused. They're helpless. They're like sheep without a shepherd. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound kind of like our culture today? Or maybe even our whole world today for the most part? That they are individuals that need compassion. And Jesus had compassion on them. But again, he's only one person. I believe that's one of the reasons why he said, it's better for you that I go to the Father just, you know, hours before he's going before, you know, the Pontius Pilate. And having to lay down his life for all of us, he says, it's better for you that I go to the Father because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And that's the beauty of us now. We have the Holy Spirit with us to minister and to touch people's lives. So he says to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. So he's in charge of it. I mean, you know, we're not the ones that are responsible for the results. And we'll look at that later on. We plant, we water, we share, but it's God that brings the increase. It's God that brings the results. And then ask him to send more workers into his fields. What does that mean? Pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers. Here I am, Lord, send me. Maybe you could say, Lord, send more workers. And he may say, would you go? Here I am, Lord, send me, as Isaiah 6 says. Let's go ahead now, turn your page or look down to the next chapter. And you know, sometimes chapter breaks just don't work out as well when you're really looking at the scriptures. So what happens next after Jesus says this? In chapter 10, verses 1, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits, to heal every kind of disease and illness. So Jesus says, wow, we need more workers. Then he turns to the people who are following him and he calls his 12 disciples. Why? Because we need more workers. And because they are called to be his disciples. They're called to be his apostles eventually, going into all the world. But he gave them authority to cast out evil spirits, to heal every kind of disease and illness. Can you imagine what that must have been for Peter, who was, you know, by his own admission, a sinner, you know, get away from me, God, Lord. You know, when he gets all the fish in his boat and he's just saying, wow, Lord, you need to get away from me. I'm a sinner. You know, and he's probably on his face. And the Lord says, from now on, you're going to be catching men. Well, he's starting that process now. God is now giving him the authority to start catching men, casting out evil spirits. How many of you know when people are trapped by evil spirits in their lives, it's hard for them to even see God or experience God. They need to be set free. And then every kind of disease and illness. Then, as we know, here are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also called Peter. Then Andrew, Peter's brother. James, son of Zebedee. John, James' brother. Philip, Bartholomew. Thomas, Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus. Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. And I think Eric, last time he shared, was sharing a little bit about The Chosen. We've watched all four seasons. Haven't seen season five yet because it's not out. But part of the beauty of The Chosen is that's what it's about, is The Chosen. Jesus is in it, and he's amazing. Jonathan Rumi plays an amazing Jesus. And he literally gets letters from people requesting, you know, all kinds of things in their life. And, you know, he prays for them, but he's not Jesus, and he'll clearly say that. But the thing is, it's really about The Chosen. It's about, where did Peter come from? How did he end up with Jesus? How did him and his brother end up, you know, following Jesus? We have little glimpses in the Bible, but the story of their life helps us realize that if he picked them, he can pick us. And he did pick us. So, you could say that today Jesus called his 12, but he's also calling you. I think when I started the message and I was talking about, you know, that when we're reaching individuals one heart at a time, anybody can do that. Reaching them one heart at a time is loving them, is paying attention to them, spending time with them. You know, when the world is like, you know, just flying at record speeds, slowing down and hearing someone's heart, giving them opportunity to maybe share things in their heart that they're heavy about. That's part of being called. It's not necessarily you have to go out and, you know, preach some dynamic sermon to somebody. Start with simple things. Start being a lover of people. That'll get you a long ways. That will open up the door to a lot of people's hearts. And then once they are curious and they've started to say, why are you different? What is going on with you? What makes you like you are? You can say, well, let me tell you. Now you can start reaching their soul. You can start speaking to that part of them that can receive God. You start telling them how you receive God. Just give other people's testimonies. If you don't have a good testimony, find somebody else's testimony that's amazing. Hopefully your testimony is pretty great because you left the kingdom of darkness and you came into the Son of his love. That's pretty great. Some of you say, well, Pastor, I don't have too much of a testimony. I grew up in church my whole life. That's a testimony. That is a huge testimony that you've been protected, you've been blessed by being in the kingdom, experiencing his love, experiencing his power, experiencing his glory. That's a testimony. Some people who've been in church a long time, they get upset when they hear somebody's, you know, I was dirt and now I'm like saved testimonies. And they think, well, I don't have anything. No, you have something. You have something. You've been in God. You've experienced God. That's huge for a long time. Amen? Amen? Amen. Okay, let's look at the next verse. This is just down the street. Jesus sent out the 12. So what is the process here? He sees the harvest. He sees all of the souls that are confused and lost, and it's like they don't have a shepherd. And who is the good shepherd? Jesus, but he's only one man. On the earth at this time, he's only one man. He can only do so much. He can only be in so many places. And so he calls his 12 disciples after that. And he gives them authority. You're going to go and do things. You're going to start ministering to these lost and confused people. You have authority to cast out demons. You have authority to heal the sick. And you probably have the authority. I bet they had the authority to preach the good news of the kingdom as much as they understood it at the time. They probably didn't understand it that much because most of them didn't even believe he was going to go to the cross. And now, what's he do? He sends them out. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions. Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Go and announce to them the kingdom of heaven is near. So that's their message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Of course, most of them wonder, well, what does that mean? What is the kingdom of heaven? And then he tells them, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. And then I think this is a key. I think this is a key to the whole kingdom of God. And this is a key to, I believe, a successful life in God. Give as freely as you have received. Some translations said, freely you have received, freely give. I've always had difficulties at times going to certain places or reading certain books, and they have these huge price tags on them. And I'm like, I wonder who gave them that wisdom. I wonder who gave that wisdom to them. Now, I understand there's costs of printing and all of that, but some of the stuff is just like out of, it's like, really? And I know they spend hours writing and stuff, but I'm trying to tell you that I believe in the kingdom of God, we need the people that are freely givers. And when we've received something from God, we need to be open to freely giving it. And I think if the gospel was more freely given, more would freely receive. Anybody agree? All right. Enough harping. In John 4:31-36, now this is the story of one of the greatest witnesses for Christ other than the disciples in the Bible. John 4 is where Jesus is going to Samaritan, it sounds like, and he's at this well, Jacob's well, and his disciples have gone into town to get food. And while he's at this well, and it said in the beginning of John that he needed to go to Samaria. I believe he needed to meet this woman, is what really was up. And this woman comes at the middle of the day, not with the other women. She's not one that's received by her community right now because of her lifestyle. And she comes to the well, and she you know, is getting ready to get water. And Jesus says, hey, could you give me some water? And she goes, whoa, who, what, me? You're talking to me? Do you know who I am? And do you know who you are? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. We shouldn't even be communicating according to your customs, your law. And then Jesus says, well, if you ask of me, I could give you water that would never run out. You might not have to come back to this well, she's thinking. I want that water. He says, no, the water that I'm going to give you is going to be rivers of living water pouring out of your being. Now she's going like, what is this guy doing? So they have a little bit of a conversation. All of a sudden, he starts telling her things about herself. He starts reading her mail, so to speak. And she's like, who is this guy? She goes, I know that, you know, there, you might be a prophet here the way that you're talking. And Jesus basically communicates that he's Messiah. Because she says, you know, we're looking for Messiah. Well, that's who you're talking to. So he proves through the word of knowledge and through basically caring about her. Do you realize that's what he's doing at first? He's saying, hey, can I get a drink of water? He's breaking the ice. Because there was a big divide between Samaritans and Jews. The Samaritans were the 10 tribes that went north, and they pretty much lived like heathens. Their whole time they were tribes. And they worshiped in whole different ways than the people who stayed in Judah and Jerusalem. Not that Judah and Jerusalem were perfect. they had their own issues. But there was like this divide between them. Anyway, so what ends up happening is that this woman goes back into town after the disciples come and see Jesus talking to her. They say, what are you doing? He says, oh, I'm communicating with this woman, you know, and they're like, okay. And so basically they're wondering kind of what's going on too, because they knew that they weren't supposed to, you know, really, really fraternize with Samaritan women or Samaritans at all, much less talk to this woman. And so what ends up happening is after this, the disciples come to Jesus because they went and got food, right? They went and got food. That's what the whole point was. They went and got food. He was alone. He meets a Samaritan woman. It says, John 4:31-36. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, teacher, eat something. Because we got food. Have you ever like brought food back from a store or from fast food? You know, make it clean, hopefully good, health, wholesome fast food. But you bring it back and you bring it for the family and they're like watching a TV show or something like that. And it's like, dude, there's food on the table. I just went and got it. And they're like, oh, yeah, I'll get to it. No, eat the food. That's what it's going to get cold. You know what I'm saying? I can see them saying, Lord, we brought this food. It's good stuff. We found some good stuff in there. We got amazing shops. Eat. But Jesus replied, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. What? Can you imagine what they were thinking? I mean, he would say things. I know that there afterwards they were probably, what did he mean by that? Because, you know, they're there and they don't understand the kingdom of God totally. And he even goes on to say, did someone bring him while we were gone? In other words, did someone bring him some food while we were gone? Did this already happen? Is that what happened? And the disciples asked each other. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God, who sent me, and from finishing his work. Remember what I told you about? That the harvest wasn't just about the souls, but it was also about us. There's a nourishment that we receive from heaven. There's an infilling, a greater infilling that comes, a greater joy, you can't put words into it because I've experienced before. Anybody else experienced that before? When you've reached out to somebody and their lives have been touched and they're being touched, but at the same time, you're being touched in a significant way. You're receiving nourishment from heaven. You're receiving food. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up, look around, and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. You know, a lot of us are in the mindset, you know, we just need a revival. We need God to do something and just move on us so that we'll get up off our chairs and go and do something. You know, and when I read through the book of Acts, sometimes I say, Lord, why couldn't you do that exact same thing now? Why couldn't you just like stir us all up and you know, and sometimes I just feel the Lord saying, I've just given you everything you need. Why do you have to wait for something to happen? You've got all of me in you. You've got all the Holy Spirit in you. Now, I'm not discounting moves of God. Because there have been amazing moves of God. And it would be great to be in a move of God. But why are we waiting for a move of God to move? Why do we think we have to have a move of God before we can reach the lost and dying world? The harvesters are paid good wages. What is he talking about? The harvesters are paid good wages. When we harvest, when we go into his fields, we're paid wages. My nourishment comes from doing the will of God. When we do the will of God, we're getting paid. Now, hopefully we're not doing it to get paid. Just like hopefully you're not tithing just to get something back. You're tithing because you love God. Which I forgot to mention the tithing, folks. Perfect moment. Thank you for all who give to One Life Family Worship. You can give in the front or back. Amen. Okay. Squirrel. Okay, anyway. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. People brought to eternal life. Can't be any clearer that the fruit they harvest is people, and they are brought to eternal life, just like you've been brought to eternal life. What joy! Anybody need some joy? Anybody need some excitement in your life, some fire? What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike? There's people that have sown into people's lives through the years. They've been maybe ones that have touched their soul. Maybe some have touched their heart. And maybe you're going to have the opportunity to bring the harvest in. Or maybe you're going to plant the seed, you're going to water the seed, and then God, through his grace, is going to allow you to also see the harvest. But there's joy in that. And unfortunately, most of us think it's a drudgery thing. Most of us think, oh man, that's going to put my ego on the line. That's going to put my heart on the line. That's going to put my emotions on the line. But there's joy in it. I've had the opportunity to win souls. I've had the opportunity to share in people's lives. Others had watered, other maybe people had even planted the seed. God is the one who was doing the work in them, and I had the opportunity to share. I've had the opportunity to plant seed. Even planting seed, there's joy that comes. Even watering at times, there's joy that comes. But there's joy in the harvest. Herman and Miriam aren't here this morning, but they would probably say that after they've been laboring that whole year up to August, September, all of a sudden they get harvest. And it's a lot of work, but there's a lot of joy because the harvest for them, the fruit that comes in, helps finance the entire orchard that they've been putting resources in the whole year. They're putting stuff in. They're not getting anything back for a long time. Sometimes people plant trees and they start an orchard, and it's not for 5 years before they truly start receiving any benefit off of it. What do you think about lives? It takes time sometimes for lives to be harvested. And we don't always know in what process of producing fruit someone's life might be. All right. I just threw this in because I think this it kind of communicates a little bit of the way that Paul saw the harvest as well. He says in 1 Corinthians 16:15-16, you know that Stephanas and his household were the first of the harvest of believers in Greece. And they are spending their lives in service to God's people. I urge you, dear brothers and sisters, to submit to them and others like them who serve with such devotion. Paul's communicating Stephanas' household. They were the first in Greece. That's pretty powerful when you think about the very first Christians that were established in Greece were Stephanas and his household. And I bet Paul, when he talks about Stephanas and his household, has great joy in his heart. I think it was one of the messages, I can't remember, but Paul is communicating to the church and he's talking about, you know, this glory that God gives us, these crowns that God gives us, and he tells them, you are my crown, you are my glory. Sometimes we have to change our perspective and reset our view on heavenly things instead of earthly things. Because when we're on heavenly things, we realize the value of lives. We're on earthly things, we just kind of want to get our stuff, you know, all in order and make sure that our life is all good. But we're on heavenly things, we think about others. It just naturally comes. When you get God in your heart, you naturally start thinking about others. You can't help it. Romans, remember I told you that there's about hearing and then people being sent? This is a great one. Romans 10:13-15. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? Have to come to belief in Christ. And how can they believe in him if they've not heard about him? So all who call on the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. But how can they be saved unless they hear? Or how can they believe in him unless they hear? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Oh boy. So if we call on the name of the Lord, we're going to be saved. And if we can hear the gospel and someone tells it to us, guess what? The Holy Spirit can work with that and we can believe. And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? Isn't that interesting? Jesus looks at the fields of people and all the confusion and all the lost and his heart has compassion on them. And what does he do? He calls his 12 disciples, and then he sends them out. And then he gives them instructions of what to do. That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. We can have beautiful feet. Now, I don't have very pretty feet in the natural. I'm just telling you. I don't know where our genetics came from, orangutans or something, but they're pretty gnarly. And she can attest. It's not pretty. Like when I wear sandals, it's like I got to wear the right kind of sandals, you know. Anyway, but we can have beautiful feet if we bring good news. Why is that? Because we're carrying the message of the gospel. We're taking life to those who are in death right now. And we have beautiful feet. There is hope for me. Praise God. How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Then finally, John 12, 23 through 25, Jesus is communicating to his disciples. And keep in mind, John 12 through about 16, it's right close to the end of Jesus' time on earth. And he really is really enunciating things to his disciples. And in 12, he says, Jesus replied, now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. What is this telling me? It tells me we need to die to self to receive a plentiful harvest. In other words, we need to put our agendas and our life on hold sometimes so that others can receive. And then we receive a plentiful harvest. And then the joy comes. And then the nourishment comes. But at first, we need to lay down our lives. We need to put ourselves in uncomfortable situations. We need to extend our heart to others in situations that maybe no one else would. Then it says this, those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who try to cling on to their life, they're going to lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. That's a challenging statement, especially when it's in the phrasing of harvesting and touching other lives. I didn't write it, Jesus did in the New Living Translation. Blame them. Those who care nothing for their life in this world, in this time frame, here now, will keep it for eternity. I think there's levels of life that we can live in that afterlife when we've died more to this life. I don't know how that all works out. But we see it in the Gospels. We see it in Jesus' communication. We see it when it talks about, you know, crowns and glory. And I'm telling you, I just have a feeling that our crowns and our glory are the lives that we reach, are the lives that we've connected with. So what about someone who just goes and they live in a cabin? They love Jesus. They're just living in a cabin, never talking to anybody. They get up to heaven and like, Lord, where's my crowns? Where's my glory? Well, you never talk to anybody. You're here. Start saying hi to people. But your crowns or your glory, your opportunity was when you were there. The extension of heaven was there. That doesn't mean that they're, you know, not going to, you know, love being in the presence of Jesus. But wouldn't it be a lot better to be with people that you love? People that you know? How many ever go into a room and you don't know anybody? Can you imagine getting to heaven and not know anybody except Jesus? That could be a little lonely at first. Who's that guy sitting in that chair over there, Jesus? Well, he didn't get to know anybody on earth, and he feels kind of out of place while they're having their party. Just trying to put it, this idea in perspective that reaching other lives is very important. You have something, Moses? Come on up.
Just a little testimony on the joy of
here,
the Lord.
We got to get you on the mic so that the people online can hear.
Just a little testimony of the joy of the Lord, as Pastor was telling, sharing with us to share the Word of God. And I've shared this with, and some of you have heard this before, and I had a customer, and bitter, very bitter, been through hardships in life. We would discuss the Word of God. He'd want to debate. He'd always want to debate. And I just chuckle, like, I'm not here to debate, you know. Jesus loves you. And it took, like I said, it was a process. It took years. And I go, I'm going to be praying for you. I remember Herman knows him. Herman was praying for him. I remember Herman and I getting together. We need to pray for him. And he's praying. This was a process, he said. I wasn't the one who led him to Christ. But I knew, I didn't know what was happening out in his outer circle. And more he started finding people, believers. And one day I walked into the shop, because he's one of my customers, and he runs the lube and oil shop there. And he turns around and he says, and I see him and I go, and I said, you accepted Jesus, didn't you? And he goes, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know. He goes, man, if I would have known. And I gave him a big hug and we're basically crying. And I had to get composure, you know, because I'm like, it was, again, it was a process. You know, I was watering. There was other people feeding him. Just share the word. Yeah, like I said, I didn't lead him to Christ, but I felt when I walked in and he looked at me and he's just like,
he felt the joy.
He felt it, and I felt it, and I go, you accepted Jesus, didn't you? He goes, I've never felt like this in my life. He goes, I never felt like this, Moses. I wish I would have found out early. I go, no, the timing was right. And like I said, we were just, I welled up and he welled up, you know, and they were like, oh, who cares? Like, hey, of course, gave him a big hug in the shop, you know. And I had been calling on him for years, and I never Bible thumped him. I never, you know, I just says, Jesus loves you and I'm praying for you. Nah, don't be doing that stuff for me. Nah, nah, there's no God. And oh, he'd want to go right away engage me into debate. I go, I'm not going to debate that stuff. I know the truth. I go, Jesus loves you. That's the truth. You know, and but it was a joy. Like Pastor was sharing, share the word. You never know what that seed is going to produce. You know, just we might be watering, we might be planting, but speak the word, because it's not our word. It's not us that's in charge of that seed. It's the Lord God.
You know? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Moses. It's really good. Lord, we just thank you. And we pray, Lord, that as this slides up there and it says, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Lord, let that sink in. Lord, that there is such a great harvest all around us. There are lives, Lord, that need to be touched. There's families, Lord, that need to be restored. There's individuals, Lord, that need to be healed. Lord, there is a great work out there for workers. Lord, I pray right now, God, that you would convict us, you would challenge us, Lord, you would encourage us. And help us realize that we are equipped, that you have given us authority. When you told the disciples to go all in all the world, it wasn't just for them, it was for us as well. Those who were afar off. Lord, we have your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask you that you would give us open doors. You would give us opportunities to speak into people's lives like Moses did his friend, who eventually came to know you. Lord, that we would be willing to plant seeds, to water, Lord, even sometimes weed, so that the fruit of the harvest could be produced in their lives by you. In Jesus' name, amen.
If I could have anything, let it be your eyes on me. Every time. time I catch your gaze, my world starts changing. I don't have that much to bring, just a simple song to sing. If I could have anything, let me be your eyes. If I could have anything, let it be your eyes on me. Every time I catch your gaze, my world starts changing. I don't have that much to bring, just a simple song to sing. If I could have anything, let me be an offering. Let me be an offering. I come alive loving you. I'm overwhelmed by the way you move. My words fall short when I look at you. Sure, when I look at you, oh, so I come alive, loving you, and I'm overwhelmed by the way you move. My words fall short when I look at you, oh, yeah, I come alive, loving you, and I'm overwhelmed by the way you move. My words fall short. Look at you, oh, if I could have anything, let it be your eyes on me. Every time I catch your gaze, my world starts changing. I don't have that much to bring, just a simple song to sing. If I could have anything, let me be in awe.
One more time, if I could have.
If I could have anything, let it be your eyes on me. Every time I catch your gaze, my world starts changing. I don't have that much to bring, just a simple song to sing. If I could have anything, let me be.
Joy of the harvest. Amen. I want to let you guys know that on the week, on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, which is in, I think it's two full weeks, we're going to be having the Lord's Supper, and it's downstairs. It's where we do communion. We do a simple soup, and it's just a really intimate, awesome time. And we've done it for, I don't know how many years, 24 years? Oh, the 24th. I'm like, 24 years? That's a long time. Anyway, it's at 5 o'clock. And so just, you know, save that date. I'm going to be sending out a text this week so you guys get it on your calendar. But just, it's something that you can invite others to. And it's just, it's my favorite communion we do all year, because it just seems so like we're family and Jesus is there. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Have a great day. Appreciate you.